The U.S. military has long seen recruitment possibilities in working-class communities like Brentwood, New York. More than 75% of Brentwood High School's 3,600 students are Black or Latino, and more than half are living in poverty. The school has an active ROTC program, and military recruiters are a familiar sight on campus. But three graduates have died in combat overseas. Reporter Jesse Graham says Brentwood parents and administrators are now wondering whether the military remains a good option for students.
Graduation portraits, baby pictures, and photos of former students in military dress crowd the bulletin board in Assistant Principal Linda Papert's office. Sometimes Papert glances up to wonder where her students are now.
Sometimes they're going down the wrong path, and you worry that they're not safe here, that maybe they've made some choices that are going to wind them up killed in the street.
Papert points to a photograph of a student in an Army uniform. He enlisted after getting involved with a gang. He came back to visit when he finished basic training.
And he walked into my office in uniform, and I was like, oh, thank God, he's safe now. Because he would join the service, and it would straighten him out. Now I think, oh, my God, I don't know where he's stationed, and maybe he's not safe.
Brentwood High Principal Tom O'Brien says he feels many of his students are at a disadvantage because they can't afford college, and their immigration status can make them ineligible for federal loans. Their parents work in factories, as hospital aides, as gardeners and restaurant workers. Now that three graduates have been killed in combat, many community members feel they've sacrificed enough.
You know, they're asking, why us again? You know, for what goal? Is this a worthy goal? Is this worthy for us to sacrifice our children to? It certainly comes to your mind on sleepless nights when you try to answer the question for yourself, are you putting the kids from your school in harm's way?
If you haven't heard, well then let me drop the bombshell now. I'm in Iraq. I got here September 1st, so it's been almost a month now.
English teacher Chris Chamberlain reads his senior literature class a dispatch from another former student who joined the Marines last June.
There hasn't been that much activity as far as gunfire goes. Well, that's as of late. When we first got here, it was madness. Mortars landing everywhere and machine gun fire going off like it was crazy.
Chamberlain is a Marine veteran who wears camouflage cargo pants from the Gap and Harley Davidson biker boots. He's a proud Marine. But he feels a responsibility to give students as much information as he can about the risks they face if they enlist now. He uses the letter from Iraq and a chapter from Tim O'Brien's Vietnam War novel, The Things They Carried, to spark discussion about the cost of war. Most students, like Janelle Hamilton, have close friends and family members in the service.
Go ahead.
Well, can I say something?
Absolutely.
My cousin already died in the war, so, I don't know. Like, Raheem, that was my cousin.
Oh, really?
He died, yeah.
Raheem Hyder?
He was the first one to die from this school already in the war. And I have two other cousins that are in Iraq, and one's in Afghanistan or whatever. So, like, this war, to me, it's crap.
In every class, Chamberlain has students who seek his advice on joining the military.
You said you're thinking about or in the process of enlisting, correct?
Actually, on Saturday,
David Cabezas and his friend Omar Carballo plan to join the Marine Corps. The two are close friends. They got their tongues pierced at the same time. Cabezas is a senior who plays lacrosse. Chamberlain says Cabezas is a strong enough student to go to college now. Cabezas says being a Marine will be good preparation for a career as a police officer. He was born in Colombia, but he's eager to serve his adopted country. He accepts the likelihood that he'll be deployed to Iraq.
I look at it all as luck. If luck's on your side, if you do things the right way, the way you're trained, then nothing should happen, hopefully.
Omar Caballo was born in El Salvador and is working towards his U.S. citizenship. He's a C student with a spotty attendance record. He hopes the Marine Corps will give him the discipline and the money he needs to get an education. Carballo has been talking to recruiters since he was 15 years old.
It hurt me because I was talking to my mom about it and my mom started crying. So it hurt to see my mom cry. But the truth of the matter is I'm not going to stop something that I really want to do because of what's going on. Truthfully, I really am against the war. But, I mean, I want to do this because I've been wanting to do this for so long.
Marine, Stefan Rodriguez.
After school, Cabezas and Carballo hang out at the recruiting center in nearby Bayshore.
I'm sorry to bother you so much, but do you have like a list of all the jobs?
Yeah, I have a list, but that's what I want to actually get together with you.
They have questions for their local recruiter, Marine Staff Sergeant David Rodriguez.
I graduated from Brentwood. I was not ready to go to college. So I went into Marines at 17. I went to boot camp, got that discipline.
Rodriguez says he's seen plenty of interest in recent months, despite the casualties. He's also been fielding more and more questions from families worried about their loved ones enlisting. Some local parents are trying to bar recruiters from speaking with students under 17 on school grounds. Rodriguez says young men and women seek him out, just as he sought out a recruiter outside Brentwood High when he was 15.
I asked him, you know, what's the Marines? And he had me when he says, you know, good morning. So, of course, I didn't let him know that, but when we got to the office, I already had my mind made up. I wanted to join the Marines.
How long are you here for, man?
I took vacation for 3 weeks.
Outside the office, the recruits chat with Lance Corporal Michael Sheikis, who's just returned from Iraq. The lean 19-year-old shows off photos of himself in face paint, holding two 9mm handguns. He says six men from his battalion have died in Iraq. But Carballo and Cabezas are more interested in his four-day-old Toyota 4Runner.
Brand new, freaking all equipped, leather seats.
So obviously the pay is good.
Yeah, well, there it is. You get combat pay, danger pay.
Hey, Mama.
Omar Carballo returns to the tiny basement apartment he shares with his mother, stepfather, and one-year-old sister. He's hoping the money he earns in the military will help him put his sister through college someday and move his family to a block where there isn't any gang violence. His mother, Maria, has just gotten home from her job at a nearby factory. She says it hurts her heart to imagine her son at war. What are we going to do, she says. Support him, because that's the only thing I can do as a mother. Because in an economic sense, I can't support him. We're poor and we live from hand to mouth. And so what I do is I put it in the hands of God to protect him for me. Omar Carballo and David Cabezas are requesting to be placed in the same platoon so they can look out for one another, wherever they're deployed. And someday, they hope to return to Brentwood to show other potential Marines what the service can do for them.
I told her I want 3 shots. One here, and one in my thigh. Then slap a medal on my chest, call me a hero when I'm fine.
For NPR News, I'm Jesse Graham in New York.